bodies.
You're live.
It does look like.
All right.
Most people are at the field work.
Is that where they are? All right. Fair enough. Okay. Welcome, everyone. We're calling the November 14th, 2018 EDAC meeting to order. First item of business. Looks like we have election of officers.
Oh, yes, we do. So I'm seeking nominations for the chair of EDAC for another year. Do I hear any nominations?
I nominate Jason.
Oh,
is there
you.
A second?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Oh, appreciate
against?
It.
Against?
Oh, no, it is.
All right,
no.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, come on.
I thought no campaigning. What's going on?
Oh, right. No campaigning.
And then we're going to open the nominations for election of vice chair for the next year, for next year term.
I would nominate Michael. But
in absentia?
In absentia, if that's okay. Can we do that?
Sure.
Who's Michael?
Michael Lee.
Michael Lee.
Where is he?
Late.
He's
on his way.
Can you nominate somebody who is not available?
Sure.
Yeah, we've done it before.
We've done it before.
Yeah.
But doing something before doesn't make it right.
No.
True.
I think he got nominated
before.
Think
of it like a writing candidate. You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is the current one?
Michael.
Michael.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Michael, you're not here? Great.
All right.
Right.
He has no choice now. All right. Thanks, everyone, for that. Let's move on to item 3, the approval of minutes. It's been a while, so this was the September 19th, and that was a rescheduled meeting, so we have minutes for that. So everyone had a chance to take a look at that. I know it's been a little while.
I read it.
You read it? How was it?
Great.
Perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, having said that, may I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Yes, I
have. Okay. Is there a second? Okay, all those in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Any oppositions? Seeing no opposition, the motion passes. The minutes are approved. Item 4 is public comment. I don't see anyone from the public. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to item 5 if we have any announcements.
We do. So our passport program starts this Saturday. And I'd like to thank Tori for all her hard work and putting up with Jen and I as we had all these little tweaks to the passport. But this is the final production. And some of you volunteered to deliver them for me by tomorrow. So if you are, meet me after the meeting, and I'll give you a packet. There are groups in about 3 or 4, so it's not a lot, but they do need to be delivered by tomorrow to the businesses so they can be out on their registers and stuff by Friday.
So how do I know? I'm not going to the same store that somebody else is being
there. Oh, I have individual packets.
You get one of these per business.
Yeah.
Oh, there's an address there.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
And the address are actually in the passport, too. So I do have some that have address I can just give to you because I had to remember where they were also. So it makes it easy. So I'll pass that around. But Tori, she did a fantastic job. The council loves it. The city manager loves it. We have 16 businesses, ultimately, who are participating. And so folks will need 12 out of 16 stamps. And we have about 16 or 17 gift cards. So we'll be doing a drawing at the end of the after December 17th. For the for those who complete the passports and turn them either to the chamber or do the city offices.
Okay.
So we go to business hours and obviously owner hopefully and hand to them.
Right. So let me read packets.
Sure.
So
can
what
you
I
explain anything?
Yeah. So in the packet that those of you'll get, that you'll have the passports, and then also I have a welcome letter, which explains all the what they need to know, and you also will take a poster. And they need to post the poster in their window where it's visible. And then they just need to leave the passports on the counter. And then they also have stickers. And so
and
they have to use these stickers to have a valid passport.
Okay.
And there's also in the letter that if they run out of stickers, to send Jen an email and we'll get them some more stickers. And then also if they run out of passports, they will be able to be downloaded on the city and the chamber website. We only order a limited number. So
you could deliver them like tomorrow, and not tomorrow business day.
That would be great, yeah. So they have them for Friday morning. Yeah.
Are there any extra copies or passports for any of the members who want to pick up? So just for those of us who are lazy and don't want to go to the store, I'll still go to the stores, but just to get it from here.
Yes, I guess I have. I can steal a few
you can
from
swing
some
me,
of them.
You can swing one for me?
I can get
okay.
a couple out of them.
Right.
Hi, patients, how are you?
All right, well, thank you.
And then those of you whose terms are up in January of 19, You probably received an email from the clerk. You do need to reapply by the end of this month. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't reapply, you won't be re-interviewed and reappointed. So
I don't think I got an email.
You are probably a 2020 term then.
Oh, so I don't.
If you got a letter or an email, you need to reapply. I can check your term after the meeting if you want, just to make sure. But you should have been notified by the clerk close to the end of the month. And then finally, as we all know, City Center is open. About 8 or 9 stores that I've opened up. I hear lots opening tomorrow or Friday.
Tomorrow. So
it's fantastic if you haven't gotten there yet. The shops are beautiful. Pottery Barn is just gorgeous, as is Winston-Sonoma, two of my favorites, so I'm a little biased. But it looks fantastic. It really, really does. And so I take the time, especially at night, to walk through with the lights on. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And then you'll probably see, or you will see in the plaza, there's actually a silhouette of Alex Maron that they put in, life-size silhouette, very thin. And on the back of it is a hand sketch from Ronza Piano of some of the earlier renderings of the plaza. And so if you get a chance, stop by and take a look at that. It's pretty cool.
So I was
pretty cool.
Where is it?
In the plaza, right near the grass area.
Near the grass.
Yeah. So he was. It was a surprise for him that a dedication last Wednesday, I think it was. So.
And by the way, Debbie, great job on getting all the permits signed off.
That was me. That was Vance.
Well, still, it's in your purview, I think.
Yeah, that was Vance.
Getting that done.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's it for announcements. Let's move on to item 6 for special presentations. Mm-hmm. Do we have any?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Item 7 is unfinished business. Retail shopping center update 7.1.
Basically just city center. That's all we got for right now.
And item 8 is new business, 8.1. Transportation planning discussion by Lisa Bobfila.
That would be me.
That would be
Lisa,
you.
I'm sorry.
I figured that out.
Good afternoon, members of the EDAC, or Economic Development Advisory Committee. I'm Lisa Bobfila. I'm the Transportation Division Manager, and I will be presenting just an overview this afternoon of the transportation projects and programs that the city currently has in place, and then I'll talk a little bit about what we have planned on the horizon. So I have a PowerPoint presentation. If you'd like a copy of it, I didn't bring copies of it today, but if you'd like a copy, I can forward it to Debbie and she can circulate it to anybody who's interested in receiving a copy of it. I also have copies of different brochures and pamphlets regarding projects and programs within the division that I can certainly hand out during the course of the presentation. So the presentation this afternoon, the overview is I'll talk a little bit about the division programs and projects, talk somewhat about current studies that are currently taking place within the city, but then I'm also going to talk about some regional studies and regional projects that do have an impact on how we operate here at the City of Santa Monica with respect to transportation. And then, as I mentioned, we'll talk briefly about what's on the horizon. So first of all, the division staff, we had a total of eight employees within the division, some part-time, some full-time, and then we have a few employees that are limited term, and then we have our public works director, Maria Ferner. So transportation division is actually one of three divisions in the public works department. We have public services, engineering, and then the transportation division. And you'll see on the next slide, the transportation division incorporates a number of endeavors. We work on regional transportation planning. I'll talk briefly about what we're doing at the regional level. We have our Safe Routes to School program, residential traffic calming, 511 Contra Costa, our transportation demand management. We have our Santa Maria Valley Street Smarts programs. We do local transportation planning. We have our traffic, so our school bus program. And then we do a lot of coordination with our local transit provider or county connection. In addition to the projects and programs, we also have two citywide advisory committees. We have a Transportation Advisory Committee, or TAC. That's the acronym that we use. Similar to this advisory committee, the TAC is made up of 6 members of the Santa Monica community. All of those members are appointed by the City Council. There's also a representative from the Santa Monica Chamber of Commerce, so there's a total of 7 advisory committee members. We meet the third Thursday of the month, so tomorrow is our monthly meeting, 6 o'clock. We meet at 2401 at the Permit Center. We also have a planning liaison to the committee. It's Jeannie Benedetti. And we typically have a council member who attends the meetings monthly as well. We also have the Transportation Demand Management Advisory Committee. Now, this committee is somewhat different than some of the other city committees. This committee consists of members of the business community. These are business community members who have employees who work here in the city. Not necessarily that they all live here, but they work here, and most of them are commuting to the city of Santa Ramon. So that advisory committee meets quarterly. They meet during the day, and it's made up of 6 members of the business community. So you don't necessarily need to be a member or a resident of Santa Ramon, but you do need to be a member of a business here in Santa Ramon. There's also 2 alternate committee members, and I'll talk briefly about some of the exciting endeavors that committee has been working on. In addition to our local advisory committees, the ones that I just mentioned, we are also required as a condition of receiving local transportation half-cent sales tax funding, we are required as a city to participate on regional transportation planning committees. And so the city is represented on the Southwest Area Transportation Committee, or SWAT. I know it's a horrible acronym, but that is the acronym that we use for that committee. So that committee consists of the city of Santa Ramon, the town of Danville, Lafayette, Moraga, Arinda, and the unincorporated areas of Contra Costa County. Councilmember Hudson represents the city on the SWAT Transportation Committee, and that committee meets monthly, and they typically rotate from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. But what we talk about at that committee are regional transportation planning initiatives, regional transportation projects, and we do a lot of interaction with La Mirinda and the Danville area on seeking grant funds for the region, not just for the city, but for the Santa Ramon Valley and the La Mirinda area. We're also a member of the Tri-Valley Transportation Council, or TVTC, that consists of the city of Santa Ramon, the town of Danville, and then our partners to the south, Dublin, Pleasanton, Livermore, Alameda County, and then Contra Costa County. That TVTC is a specific joint powers authority. We actually collect regional traffic impact fees to fund regional transportation projects on the I-680 or I-580 corridor. Councilmember Perkins is our representative on TVTC, and their primary role is to partially fund regional transportation projects, and that we all collectively collect transportation mitigation fees for those Tri-Valley projects. We're also a member of County Connection. That's our local transit provider. Councilmember Hudson represents the city on County Connection. And then we're a member of the Tri-Valley or Contra Costa Air Quality Resource Team. That group really works on developing programs to reduce air pollution in the Tri-Valley, Santa Ramon Valley area. So I'm going to talk briefly about what we're doing at the regional level with a specific focus on the I-680 corridor. And so for most of you, you may recall in 2004 there was a ballot initiative. It was Measure J, the Contra Costa Transportation Half-Cent Sales Tax. That was adopted by the voters in 2004. It actually extended the previous Measure C for another 30 years. So Measure J was adopted in 2004. Those funds became available in 2009. And a lot of the projects and programs that Santa Ramon works on in terms of transportation, those are all funded, or the majority of them are funded with a portion of Measure J funds. But for the I-680 corridor, we're moving forward into that late 2018 and 2019, working with our partners, the town of Danville, the Contra Costa Transportation Authority, and Caltrans, to be looking at improving and implementing studies and projects along the I-680 corridor to improve traffic congestion along that corridor. So one of the things that the program is called Innovate 680. And so the Contra Costa Transportation Authority is the lead agency working to implement components for Innovate 680. All those components include, we're looking at making operational improvements at Bollinger Canyon, and this is the Bollinger Canyon interchange adjacent, here at the city of Santa Ramon, or here within the city of Santa Ramon. But it's not just the city of Santa Ramon. We're working with our partners at Caltrans to look at some short-term and long-term improvements for the Bollinger Canyon interchange. We're also looking at improvements to the Bollinger Park and Ride Lot. If you're a commuter and you're commuting outside of the city, you'll notice that that park and ride lot is generally packed by 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. So it does, there's not enough capacity. We're looking at expanding the capacity either at that lot or other lots along the I-680 corridor. So some other studies that are currently underway that the Transportation Authority has taken the lead on is completing the I-680 carpool express lanes. They're also working on enhancing transportation demand management programs. They are creating an app, and the app will be able to provide rideshare incentives or to reimburse commuters, whether you're carpooling or vanpooling or riding public transit. Rather than have these incentives paid for individually, you'll have an app, and you'll be able to use that app to be rewarded every time you carpool or vanpool or ride transit. And then they want to make that app specifically for the I-680 corridor. So you'll see an announcement of that program probably spring of next year. Express bus operations, you probably can figure out that there's not a lot of capacity on I-680. There's not any room to expand on the I-680 corridor, so there are no plans to expand capacity or the widen the freeway. So what they are looking at is using the infrastructure that's currently in place. One of the ideas and one of the studies is to look at operating buses along the shoulders along the I-680 corridor. And so there's a study that's currently underway called the Bus on Shoulder, and County Connection, Caltrans, and the Transportation Authority are currently working on that endeavor. And then I'm going to talk briefly about this, but high capacity with first, last mile transit connectivity. We have a demonstration program that's currently underway here in the city of San Ramon with Bishop Ranch Business Park. They're operating testing autonomous vehicles or autonomous shuttles. I'll be talking a little bit about that later on. But the plan is in this county, in the next several years, to operate autonomous shuttles along the I-680 corridor and to and from regional employment centers in Danville, San Ramon, Walnut Creek, Concord. And so the idea is to have between 50 to 60 autonomous shuttles running through Contra Costa County in the future. But the testing of those autonomous shuttles are currently taking place at Bishop Ranch, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. So a little bit about, at the regional level, incentive programs. So within the Transportation Division, I'm going to pull up all these programs for you here. We have a staff member that's, her primary role is to work on behalf of the 511 Contra Costa program. So we have a staff member here in San Ramon. Part of her, the city is reimbursed by the Transportation Authority for her to act as a liaison for the 511 Contra Costa program. And she's not alone in that endeavor. In Central County, we have a staff member who works for the Central and East County of Contra Costa. And then in West County, she has a colleague. So those three staff members work on creating countywide commuter incentive programs that benefit whether you're a resident or a commuter coming to or from Contra Costa County. So while she works for the city of San Ramon, she works with her colleagues in Central and West County to develop these countywide incentive programs. So a lot of the programs that we provide here at the city are available on a countywide basis. So we have carpool, vanpool, transit incentives. We have a countywide guaranteed ride home program. We have employer transportation programs. So if you're an employer anywhere in Contra Costa County and you have a large number of employees, there's a lot of services that they provide on site. They can go out and do commuter transportation fares. They can help you do, if you're relocating employees from one facility to another, they'll do relocation meetings with your group of employees. And so those three TDM program managers work together to ensure that they are implementing these countywide TDM programs at employment sites. They typically focus on sites with 50 or more employees, but we also work with smaller companies throughout the county as well. The other thing that they do is we do a lot of coordination with public transit. You know, this county has at least 5 different public transit agencies. The one that serves the San Ramon Valley is County Connection, but we also work with LAFTA, that's our transit agency to the south, Dublin, Livermore, Pleasanton. So we do a lot of coordination with LAFTA, with BART, with AC Transit in West County. So there's a lot of coordination with County Connection. And we are, as you all know, San Ramon is not directly on a BART line. So all of the transit that comes into the city feeds from both the BART stations to the north and the BART stations to the south. We have electric vehicle charging stations. We are expanding our charging stations throughout the city. Those programs are actually funded with TDM funding. We also fund bicycle racks and bicycle lockers for businesses. We have a lot of bike racks that we have installed at various businesses throughout the city. You'll see some at the Marketplace, some at Diablo Plaza Shopping Center. Those are all funded or partially funded with TDM funding from this program. When you're a new business to San Ramon, you get a letter from the city welcoming you to the city, but then also summarizing all of the commuter transportation programs that are available. As I mentioned earlier, we have our TDM Advisory Committee, and then I also mentioned the coordination that we do with Central and East Contra Costa County.
Question.
Sure.
So the charging stations, they are just like per phase, not free charging stations.
No, they're not free. No, you do pay for them. But the Bay Area as a whole has rolled out this endeavor to increase the number of charging stations, and we've got several of them located here in San Ramon. So if you go to the 511 Contra Costa website, there's a lot of good commuter information. So if you are a member of the business community or just a resident, if you're interested in any commuter transportation information, the 511 website is a great resource for commuter transportation information. I also have this brochure that the staff, they disseminate this brochure to employers throughout the county, and it talks about all of the commuter incentive programs that are available. And I encourage you to go to that website. There's always updates on that website. They can send you out tweets if there's new information that's available. So whether you're commuting outside of the city or you're a business within the city, that is an excellent resource for commuters. This is just a photo of the 511 commuter incentive programs. The photo on the right, those are the bike racks, some of the bike racks that we've installed throughout the city. And then also, as Debbie mentioned earlier, City Center has opened, but one of the conditions of approval, while there are probably, Debbie, what, over 300 conditions for City Center, and our Planning Commission liaison members, Gary and Vicki, can probably attest to that, but there were, you know, over 300 conditions of approval for City Center. One of those conditions of approval was to operate a midday shuttle. So that shuttle has actually started. So if you are a business in the Bishop Ranch Business Park, Sunset Development was required to provide a midday shuttle. So that shuttle is currently operating. It provides free rides. So if you work in Bishop Ranch Business Park, there's an app. You download the app. You can schedule the shuttle to pick you up. So if you're at BR-15 off of El Paso and you want to get to City Center, you can schedule for the shuttle to pick you up. It'll pick you up at the front of your building and take you over to City Center. So that shuttle was a condition for City Center. It's operating today. Since it is required to come back to the city every 6 months with an update on ridership, the marketing and outreach plan, and that is a photo. That's the actual shuttle. And the shuttle would drop you off right in front of City Center, actually along Bishop Drive. There's a spot for buses, and that's where the shuttle will pick you up.
On-demand shuttle service rather than operating at a regular interval.
I'm sorry?
It's an on-demand shuttle rather than operating at a regular interval.
Well, right now it's doing both. If you go to their website, it is on demand, but they do have what they're calling a circulator loop. So one of the shuttle, there is a shuttle that will do a loop around the business park, but then they also do the on-demand. So for the next 6 months, they're going to test out to see which one is working for them, but they do have that option to either do a regular route or a regular loop, but I think ultimately they want to do on-demand service.
And this is free service?
Yes, it's free.
Does this take you to BART?
No, this is not taking you to
this
BART.
This is not the shuttle BART.
This is not the shuttle BART. They do have buses that go to the BART station.
Yeah.
This is not it.
Okay, that's not the one.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So
know what the app is called?
If you go to the City Center website, there's a direct link to the shop. I'm sorry, I don't know what the app is called, but
that's
I just need to find that for you. Another condition of approval for City Center was to install bike racks. If you've been to City Center, there are bike racks all over City Center. They are also going to install bike lockers. And then rather than the old traditional lockers where you have to reserve a locker and get a key, they have these new electronic or e-lockers. So you can actually download an app and put money on it, right? So then you'll go to the e-locker, you swipe it, and it'll open up the locker, but you are paying. So there is a fee for it. You can either rent the locker for an hour, 2 hours, but it is a fee-based program. And you'll soon be seeing these e-lockers throughout the City Center project. Another condition of approval for City Center, and you know, as a staff member of the city, we're extremely excited to see this. So City Center, there's a couple things. So this photo on the left, that is along Bishop Drive. There is a new, it's not a traffic signal, it's called Hawk. It will allow pedestrians, when you get to the signal, you'll hit the push button, and it acts as a red traffic light to stop cars so that pedestrians can cross the street. So it's getting you from the garage that's located at 2600 Camino Ramon across the street to City Center. So it's only activated when pedestrians actually hit the ped crossing, and then you have about 25, 30 seconds to cross the street, and it actually does stop the motorist, so motorists will stop, but it's not a regular traffic signal. So that is new. That's new for City Center. The other infrastructure is a bike box, and I'll show you. So the photo on the left here, that is the first green bike infrastructure here at the city. We're excited that we, you know, you start to see some green.
I drove through it this morning.
Oh, good,
good,
good, good, good. Now, were you a cyclist or a motorist?
I was a motorist,
Okay, that's great. So because this is new, this green bike lane infrastructure is new to San Ramon, we developed a brochure that talks about some different types of bicycle infrastructure that residents will soon see. And it gives you some, you know, how-to. So it talks a little bit about when you get to a bike box, if you're a cyclist, what you should be doing. But most cyclists understand what they should be doing when they get to a bike box. But if you're a motorist, you may not know what to do when you get to that bike box. And so this brochure that I'm handing out, also this bike box fact sheet, will talk a little bit about what you're to do when you get to this bike box. So this is providing cyclists with an opportunity to ride their bike along Bishop Drive. And if you want to access the Iron Horse Trail or City Center, you actually get in the bike box. When the light turns green, the cyclists actually have the lead time before cars to enter into the intersection. They're going to cross this intersection and go to the left. There's a new bike path in front of that parking structure. That bike path will take you all the way to the Iron Horse Trail. And so that was also a condition of approval for Sunset Development, and it's open today, and we're thrilled to see that infrastructure in place, and we're thrilled to see the bike box in place as well.
Lisa, can I
yes.
ask a question? What triggered that particular intersection of having a bike box?
We wanted to be able to provide access to the Iron Horse Trail. Oh, I'm sorry, if you're along Bishop Drive and you need to maneuver and you want to get over to the Iron Horse Trail, that bike box at that location, because there's going to be a lot of trips in that area. And so from the staff perspective, with all the travel going to City Center, we want to make sure that cyclists that are accessing City Center and or the Iron Horse Trail, that there's that visibility and they have that lead time before motorists. And so in terms of the first location for the city, we thought with the opening of City Center, all the traffic that will be generated, that would be an ideal location to implement that, at that location. And so the bike box and the green bike lane infrastructure, while we did condition that for City Center, it's all part of the city's
effort to expand bicycling throughout the city. And so to that end, last April, the San Ramon City Council adopted the city's very first bicycle master plan. It's available on the city's website. I have a copy of it here today. It's a very comprehensive document, but you can go to the city's website, and there are about five different chapters in the Bicycle Master Plan, and it talks all about bicycling in the city. So the development for the Bicycle Master Plan, it was about a year and a half endeavor. We formed a bike advisory committee, and so this bicycle advisory committee was made up of 15 different members. They were representatives from the public, members of the Transportation Advisory Committee. We had members from the Teen Council Liaison. And so the Bicycle Master Plan Subcommittee met four times. We did a bike to work day station along the Iron Horse Trail. You can see this map that we have here. We asked people along the Iron Horse Trail, let us know where you see some conflicts throughout the city and areas that you would like us to address with the Bicycle Master Plan. We have this wiki map available online for about a month and a half. We had over 125 responses to the wiki map. So we took all of this information and information that we gathered from the community workshops in October of 2017 and March of 2018, and we put all this information into the Bicycle Master Plan and presented a draft master plan to the City Council, and then ultimately the City Council adopted our first citywide bike master plan last April. So there are a number of components of the bike master plan that city staff is currently working on implementation. This summarizes the chapters that are in the bike master plan. There's some photos of different bike infrastructure and our community outreach. And then just very briefly, some stats about what's included in our bike master plan. So there's over 120 bicycle projects in our master plan. That is not to say we're going to implement all those projects this year. You know, this is a long-term planning document similar to Debbie's general plan. This is a bike master plan that will evolve over time. And so some of these projects can be installed in the short term, some of them are more long-range projects. But there's over 120 bike projects. 45 of those projects are signage and striping. A lot of those can easily be done when we're doing rehab or pavement management on roadways. The cost for all those 120 projects are anywhere between $45 to $48 million, which is, you know, in a significant amount of funding. So obviously we're not going to fund all of those projects all at once. But again, it's over the course of the next 5, 10, 15, to 20 years. And in addition, there are 15 different support programs. And when we talk about support programs, those are really educational programs. And one of the things that we are implementing next spring is an adult bicycle education class. One of the things that we heard from the committee and from the public during the course of our community outreach was that many residents or adults aren't familiar with the rules of the road. We have a traffic safety education program at school sites, and so we're going to take that model at school sites and introduce it and do some adult bicycle education classes. So that summarizes what we're doing with our bike master plan and some of the conditions of approval at City Center. So GoMentum, as I mentioned earlier, there's a demonstration project that's currently underway here at the city. It's a project in concert with the Contra Costa Transportation Authority, the Bishop Ranch Business Park, and the City of San Ramon. We are actually testing the shared autonomous vehicles. They're currently testing on private property within the Bishop Ranch Business Park. We've done some testing on public roadway on Camino Ramon during off-peak hours, if you will. And so it still is in the demonstration phase. We are hoping to launch autonomous shuttles within the next year. And ultimately, these autonomous shuttles within the Bishop Ranch Business Park and within the City of San Ramon will do two things. They will provide first and last mile to and from the San Ramon Transit Center. They'll also provide midday shuttle service. So ultimately, the autonomous shuttles will replace the shuttles that Sunset is currently operating at City Center. The GoMentum is actually a project at the Concord Naval Weapons Station. It's the old Naval Weapons Station where they're doing
all the testing there, the Transportation Authority, AAA has just became a significant investor in the Gomentum project, so they are a partner now with Gomentum. So they're Honda, Toyota, Ford, they're testing vehicles at the Gomentum site in Concord. But the shared autonomous vehicle that you see here, this is the actual vehicle. This is the one that's being tested here in the Bishop Ranch Business Park. Right now, nobody is right. They're not open to the public. So ultimately, they will have tenants within Bishop Ranch do some test rides, and then they'll be open to the public, we're hoping, within the next year. They can hold up to 12. They currently, you know, ultimately, we hope that they can reach speeds of at least 25 to 30 miles an hour, but today they're only going about 10 to 15, which is an issue. So if we're going to have them on a public roadway, particularly in Camino Ramon, they need to go a little bit faster than the 15 miles per hour. So those are some of the issues that they are currently working on.
In the accident?
No, not on wood, not with this. Okay, so the Iron Horse Trail overcrossing. Some of you may have heard that the city is moving forward with final design to construct a bicycle pedestrian overcrossing along the Iron Horse Trail at Bollinger Canyon Road. This just gives you a very brief overview of where we've been with this project and where we are today. It actually started in 2007. We did a feasibility study in 2007. For the Iron Horse Trail to determine whether or not overcrossings would be feasible at Bollinger, Crow Canyon, and then Sycamore Valley in Danville. That study was completed, and then in 2009, phase two, we implemented in 2015. That was actually to do community engagement and preliminary design. We spent about a year and a half engaging the community, providing input and feedback on what type of overcrossing the community would like to see at Bollinger and Crow. We met with about 30 different community organizations within the city, received a significant amount of feedback. We had surveys available online. We ultimately went to the city council, and the city council selected an architectural design. While the photo on the bottom there is not the final design, when the structure is built, it may look similar to that. Again, that's not the final design, but that gives the community an idea of what an overcrossing could look like at that location. So last November, we completed the environmental phase of the document. We have a signed initial study, mitigated neg deck that is finalized. And so the environmental portion is completed. We're now moving forward with final design. So we have a division manager within our engineering group who's taken the lead with the Transportation Authority to work on final design. That endeavor will probably be in place for the next 18 to 24 months. And then at some point in the future, the council will make a final decision on what type of overcrossing at Bollinger Canyon. And then at some point, we'll move into the next phase, which would be construction. This information is available on our website. It's got tons of information on where we've been for the last, close to 10 years now on this endeavor. But there's a lot of information available on our website.
So what's the cost on that crossing?
I'm sorry,
what's the cost?
We receive grant funding. It's anywhere between 14 to 18 million. I mean, that's just an estimate. You know, we're working on final design. Until we have that final design, it's hard to give you a hard figure of what that would be. We have a significant amount of grant funding that we've received, but some preliminary data was anywhere between 14 to 18 million. But that could change, and will likely change. Okay, transit shelter programs. You may have seen these transit shelters throughout the city. We're embarking on updating these transit shelters. And so the first thing we're going to do is put some new shelters out in the Derby Valley area. And so we've taken a preliminary design to the city's policy committee. We're going to take a final selection to our city council early 2019. And then we'll start to see some new transit shelters out in the Derby Valley, and then ultimately replacing some of these older shelters. Our Santa Road Transit Center, it's interesting, sometimes you talk to residents and they have no idea we have a transit center, but we do. It's located on Executive Parkway. It's adjacent to the Iron Horse Trail, behind Iron Horse Middle School, and in between the Bishop Ranch Business Park. It is the property of the city of San Ramon. It's not Bishop Ranch. It's the city's transit center. We have 6 bus bays. We have electric vehicle charging station. We have bike racks, bike lockers, and we also have about 55 parking spaces available for commuters to meet, park, for example, or catch the bus. Some of the traffic safety education programs, we do a lot with our school sites. We work cooperatively with the town of Danville and the school district, and we implement street smarts programs. These are specifically focused on educating students at school sites throughout the entire San Ramon Valley, not just San Ramon, but Danville, Alamo areas. And we educate students on traffic safety, bike, pedestrian safety. We do on-site school site assemblies. We do on-site bike rodeos, and our main goal is to educate students about bicycle and pedestrian safety. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to do an adult bike education class next spring. For residents who have concerns about too many cars on their street or speeding on their street, we have a residential traffic calming program. I've got a brochure here that you can take with you. This brochure just highlights what we do with our residential traffic calming program. Our Transportation Advisory Committee, the bulk of the work that they do on this committee is all geared around residential traffic calming.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So if at a particular crossing, if they want that sign, that slow down sign or a stop sign, what should the residents do?
Well, for stop signs, there's a warrant study that the staff would conduct. But, you know, your initial request to the city, call the Transportation Division, where you can submit a CRM, and then we will initiate what we call phase one of the residential traffic calming program. So we go out, we do observations. If it's a request for a stop sign, we'll conduct a stop sign warrant study. If it's a request to reduce speeds on street, we will deploy we have a portable radar trailer. We also have radar trailers that we can affix to a street sign, so we can go out and gauge the speed of vehicles, the time of day. And so there's a number of different programs that we can actually implement. It really just depends on what the specific request is from that neighborhood.
So go to the city website and submit a ticket.
I'm sorry?
Go to the city site and submit a ticket.
Through CRM, yes, through the CRM system. It'll be directed to the appropriate staff within the Transportation Division. Okay, Safe Routes to School. We work very closely with all of our elementary schools here at the city, and every year we go out and we observe what's happening at school sites. We look at pedestrian crossing, the crossing guards. We prepare an annual report to our city council. We take that report to council every summer. And that report generally includes a summary of what our observations are at school sites and some recommendations to enhance visibility or to improve circulation for cyclists or pedestrians in and around school sites. This report is also available on our website. This map, you'll see this map here. This is a sample map from Bella Vista Elementary School. We circulate this map. We call it a suggested routes to school, where the city informs parents, these are suggested routes. If your child is walking to and from school, this is the suggested route that we are recommending that you use when you're walking your child to school. So every elementary school, we develop a map, we post it online at each elementary school site, and then the principals circulate the map to parents at the beginning of every school year. And then public transit, we, as I mentioned earlier, we are served by County Connection. County Connection operates 4 fixed routes coming to and from the city of San Ramon. These are the routes. I have copies of the transit schedules for all of these routes. So we have Route 21, Route 35, Route 36, and Route 92. As I mentioned, all of these routes go to and from the San Ramon Transit Center. They serve different parts of the city. And then County Connection has a contract with Sunset Development, and Sunset Development actually funds express buses during the peak hour from the Walnut Creek and Dublin BART stations. These buses, while they are subsidized by Sunset Development, they're still open to the public. So any member of the public can ride any one of these express buses. So you have any of the fixed routes that you can board, or you have these express buses. they're also available to residents.
Question? Don't the two express bus operate during the weekend?
No, they're only Monday through Friday. Okay, just briefly, so Measure J, I talked briefly earlier about Measure J. It's the Transportation Cost and Sales Tax Program. That actually also funds a traffic congestion relief program, or TRAFICS. There's a specific line item in the expenditure plan that funds the Santa Ramon Valley TRAFICS program, and it also funds a school bus program in the Lafayette, Moraga, Orinda area. Measure or TRAFICS is a formalized joint powers authority, and the program was set up to focus on these core congested areas in the Santa Ramon Valley. It's not a traditional home-to-school bus transportation program. It's really a traffic congestion relief program. And so the program actually was designed to provide service at intersections where we were exceeding what we call in the traffic engineering world level of service. And so TRAFICS was formed about 10 years. It's actually been 10 years now. And this gives you just an outline of how TRAFICS was formed. It's actually a completely separate joint powers authority. So it's an authority. They make all their own decisions. And the authority is made up of elected officials from the city of San Ramon, the town of Danville, the San Ramon Valley Unified School District, and then Contra Costa County. The JPA has their own rules. They have their own bylaws. They have their own board of directors. They have their own accountant, legal counsel. So while the city of San Ramon is affiliated with it, it is not a program that is governed by the city of San Ramon. It's actually governed by this joint powers authority. I'm going to skip this slide. This slide just highlights some changes that have been made to the TRAFICS program since it started 10 years ago. One of the most significant changes to the program, TRAFICS used to contract with a contractor to provide program management services. That changed this past year. It's actually now a limited term employee within the city of San Ramon, but she's working on behalf of the TRAFICS Joint Powers Authority. And so her role is to coordinate and oversee the TRAFICS program on behalf of the city, the town of Danville, the school district in Contra Costa County. We also hired about 9 years ago an accountant. The program is audited every year. We're undergoing a completely revamp of the TRAFICS website that's currently underway. The board of directors will hopefully sign an agreement with a new web provider tomorrow at their board meeting, and then we're going to completely redo the TRAFICS website. So after 10 years of service, TRAFICS today is the services provided by First Student. First Student is the school bus operator, the bus provider. They operate the school buses. They provide 23 buses here in the San Ramon Valley. We have about 1,730 children from this San Ramon Valley that are riding on TRAFICS. There's 21 routes. And the annual pass per year is $325, or we do have this discounted program for families who purchase their ticket, and typically in the spring, there is somewhat of a discount for that. So the traffic fee mitigation program, as I mentioned earlier, the city is a member of the Tri-Valley Transportation Council. And so the Tri-Valley Transportation Council in Contra Costa County, we have these regional traffic fees. And these fees are actually fees that are paid for every new development in the San Ramon Valley. So if it's a development in San Ramon, Danville, or the unincorporated areas of county, the development will pay a traffic mitigation fee. So this example here, these are a fee that would be paid for one single family home. So if there is a development project that is approved, let's just say it's 50 new homes here in San Ramon, the developer is going to pay a city traffic impact fee. They're going to pay a Southern Contra Costa regional fee, a Southern Contra Costa sub-regional fee, and then a Tri-Valley Transportation Development fee. For one single family home, a developer for this current fiscal year is going to pay $12,593. Those dollars are then dispersed to local San Ramon projects and then regional projects within the San Ramon Valley and then within the Tri-Valley area.
That's on the new development, not the...
It's on new development, yes.
What do you mean by mitigation? You mean adding public transportation to mitigate the flow?
It depends on what that mitigation is, but it's typically infrastructure. You know, it's either, you know, a roadway project, a traffic signal, it could be transit, but for the most part, it's, you know, to for that development to be built, you need to expand or enhance the roadway capacity. So these fees will go to some type of traffic mitigation.
Okay.
So there's also a fee applied for multifamily homes. So there are different fee structure. This is just an example of what a fee would be for one single family home. So just to summarize a number of items that are on the horizon, we're certainly going to continue to revisit our citywide bicycle master plan. We have a number of projects over the course of the next few years that we want to implement. We are considering implementing a citywide bike share program. You may have seen bikes, you know, some of the larger urbanized cities, San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, they have these bike share programs. We even have one here at Bishop Ranch. So we're considering implementing a bike share program citywide. As I mentioned, we're going to do an adult bicycle safety program next spring. There's a 511 Contra Costa strategic plan that's been developed. We're going to be implementing some recommendations from that plan. It's looking at how we develop and implement TDM programs on a countywide basis. So that report will be coming to the Santa Monica City Council in the next couple of months. In the next few years, you may see some discussions about renewing Measure J and extending that transportation half-cent sales tax in Contra Costa County. It's likely those discussions will take place in the next 2 to 3 years. The implementation of first last mile autonomous shuttle programs. We're definitely going to be monitoring the city center shuttle and the ridership on that shuttle. As I mentioned, we're installing some new transit shelters throughout the city. And then over the course of the next 3 years, we'll be updating our local residential traffic calming program. So that concludes my presentation. I want to thank you for your time. I know it was a little bit lengthy. I was trying to cover a lot of information in as short of a time as I can. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. Again, the presentation is available. I can forward it to Debbie. She can send it to you if you're interested. But I can certainly answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Good info.
Do we have time for questions? Yeah, we have time for questions.
Lisa, did the city have any conversation with like Lyft or Uber about partnering, subsidizing rides to BART like Dublin and Lafta are doing, for example?
Very good question, and the timing is just, you know, it's perfect, because yes, we have, we are looking at a demonstration program for seniors using Uber or Lyft. It's a kind of a new concept. Walnut Creek is doing it, and so we have started those discussions with our senior community. We've gone out to the 3 different senior facilities to see what our seniors, you know, what type of services are seniors in need of. Is fixed route service the best way to provide service for seniors? Would they be interested in, you know, on-demand Uber Lyft programs? So we're moving forward with putting together a pilot program using Uber or Lyft for seniors, and then hoping to roll that out to the overall population. So, so those discussions are currently underway. The issue with seniors is, you know, I don't know how to use the app, but there's lots of ways to work around that. You know, our senior center on Alcosta has been great about, look, if you're at the senior center here at Alcosta, and, you know, we can reserve your Uber ride for you. But I think it's just getting over that barrier that seniors have of getting into an Uber or Lyft vehicle and you don't know who that person is. So it's all about educating seniors on Uber and Lyft. But it certainly is a program that is expanding, and it's another alternative to provide some type of rideshare services.
My question is more about mitigating for some of the commute and people driving their cars to work, and if they have an option, because the issue with BART is parking. Mm-hmm. We all know. So if you had a way to get to BART without having to drive your own car, mm-hmm. then a lot of people would use BART and drive to Oakland or San Francisco or other places.
So the rideshare app that I talked about earlier, the Innovate 680 mm-hmm. program, one of the things they are looking at is this rideshare app. And so if you live in San Ramon and you want to Uber to the BART station, right, you're not taking your car, so maybe there's an incentive. If you use that app, maybe there's a way to give you some incentive or to provide a fee or some type of program where at the end of the month, you get some points, and then you get to go to a restaurant in San Ramon, and you get 5,000 points, and you go to a restaurant.
They rolled that out earlier this week or last week, I think.
There is a demo program, yes, that has been rolled out. It's not available to the entire public, but they are testing it.
And then my next question is, the transit center is out of capacity most days. There's no parking anymore, and I know there's been a lot of conversation about expanding, but there's not a whole lot of space anyway. So
you are right. Yeah, it is at capacity. And so one of the things, and even the Sycamore lot in Danville, they're at full capacity as well, as is the Bollinger Park and Ride lot. We do have capacity at the Bark and Ride lot, which is off of Bollinger Canyon and Stone Leaf. There is capacity at that lot. What we hear from residents, well, it's not close to the freeway. So part of Innovate 680 is to identify locations along the I-680 corridor where we can build new park and ride lots. Because you're correct, the San Ramon Transit Center by 8 o'clock is full. We do work with Sunset or Bishop Brands to make sure that none of their tenants are parking there and that it's actually available for residents to park their cars there and use transit. But so there is a need to expand park and ride lots along this corridor, so that is being addressed as part of the Innovate 680 program.
I think to add on to that, too, as part of the CSNR approvals, there's a transit center that's required to be constructed. So there'll be a transit center for city center. So I think it's four bus bays or six bus bays.
Six bus bays, yes.
And I don't remember the number of stalls, but so there will be a new transit center coming at some point down the road with the city center project.
And where would that sell?
On BR1A, across the street. So across the street from the current city center, yeah.
Yes, that is another condition of approval. Thanks, Debbie.
Yeah.
Any more questions for Lisa?
I have a question, actually. It's regarding the Bishop Ranch Express bus and the County Connections. So that's the bus that takes people out of San Ramon to, like, the Walnut Creek and other locations?
Yes.
Can you say a little bit more about that, in the sense that, you know, we have people who are going out of San Ramon to go to work and come back. So they buy their tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is that transit center providing for them? And you mentioned that residents can also use the bus. So can you just say a little bit more?
So County Connection has fixed route service.
Mm-hmm.
And so typically the fixed route service provides service to and from San Ramon and the BART station. So, and though that fixed route, for example, Route 21, that provides service to the San Ramon Valley from about 5:30 in the morning till about 8:40 in the evening. So that's all day. But it only runs every hour.
Okay.
During off-peak hours. The express buses, 96 and 97, those two buses, while they're subsidized by Sunset Development, they are open to the public, but they are primarily to provide an express bus to and from the Walnut Creek BART station and the Dublin Pleasanton BART station. So even though they're subsidized by Sunset, as a resident of San Ramon, you could still ride them because it's a public transit bus.
But you have to join it from the transit center.
You can pick it up at the transit center, yes, at the transit center.
So it doesn't stop along the way like the public transportation?
No, 96 and 97, they're to and from the BART station, and they come within the Bishop Ranch Business Park, but then the San Ramon Transit Center.
Okay.
So if you're a resident, yes, you should go to the transit center, you can park your car there, and then board the bus at the transit center.
And the problem is the transit center is too full, you can't do the BART.
See Uber there.
I just want information. I'm taking information to share, but nice to know. So maybe I shouldn't share, right? Thank you.
Anything else?
Yeah, just an observation. I think it's great that the public transportation is centrally located. In other cities I've lived in, it's usually around a neighborhood. And then you get backflow of vehicles that can't park in a lot, and they end up in front of your house for 8 hours.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or they block your driveway, and you have to tow them. So I think it's great that it's all
centrally
empathetic to others. Yeah. So I think it's great that it's all centrally located. That's all.
Anything else? Well, Lisa, thank you for that excellent report. There's a lot of information in there. And if we want more information or follow-up, would you say to get your presentation and also that there's a link on the city website, is that right?
There are links to some of the different items that I mentioned today, mm-hmm. but the actual presentation, yes, I can forward it to Debbie. And
okay.
I can forward it to the committee.
All right, perfect.
You can always visit the city's website, Transportation Division, and the programs are always.
Okay, great, wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So let's move on to item 9, government liaison remarks. 9.1 is from City Council. I saw Scott downstairs. I don't think he'll be joining us. Mm-hmm. He was with the Boy Scouts. 9.2 from Planning Commission. Vicki?
We did not have a meeting on November 6th to encourage people to vote. It's been a coincidence chamber. The meeting prior to that was to recommend the retail study and the general plan amendment to the City Council. So Planning Commission has officially handed that off to the City Council, who is now conducting public hearings on that. And so we are almost at the end, which will be then a new beginning, but at the end of some of the work you all influenced starting a long time ago. So it's working its way through the process.
It is.
And coming up, more on Church of the Valley. The next few months.
That was a popular topic not too long ago during the. Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
I just saw today it's listed on the city's website as hot topics.
Yeah. That's kind of a dead giveaway. All right. Thank you. Item 9.3, I don't see Carol.
She couldn't make
she
it today.
She can make it?
Yeah.
Okay, so next time. 9.4 is a Chamber of Commerce update.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi, patients. Welcome.
Yeah, I don't really have an update for you guys right now, but it's nice to be part of this meeting.
Yes.
Unless Joe has something to say.
I have nothing to say.
There you
not
go.
At the moment? Okay.
There you go.
Well, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Then finally, 9.5, Teen Council update.
So coming up in January, there's going to be a Teen Rock Band Showcase, and that is ran by an organization called A Brighter Day that helps teens cope with stress and depression. And basically what this event is any teen bands in our area is allowed to perform on this day, and there's going to be judges that choose a winner, and the winner will get free studio time to record their song, and they get it downloaded on to like an MP3 to give out to people, or CDs. And this will be held at the Ceremony Community Center.
Great, thank you. Anything else? That is it? All right. Thank you for the update. We are at the end of our agenda, so we are now in adjournment.
Thank you
all.
Thank
you.
Thank you.